Hello and welcome to the Almost Awesome Esports Podcast. I am your host, Ben. Tonight with me, I have my two co-hosts, Tyron and Simon. I'm going to start off with Tyron. How are you tonight, Tyron?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Not too bad, thank you. And you, Simon, how are you tonight?
I am good.
That is awesome. So, for those who have never listened to us before or are new to the podcast, pretty much the aim of our podcast is to bring you the latest and trending esports news. Anything that comes up over the last week or so, we try and report it in a weekly recession. Tonight's episode was brought to you by Droid Ecker with Get Hyper. Link will be left in the description. And without the way, we're going to start with our first segment tonight with the 1 minute quickie. I'm going to throw out the first question. What is one non-esports title that you'd like to see become an esport?
I'd like to see something more older and more strategic. I'd like to see some Age of Empires 2. That would be some pretty cool like esports title, because they could see what they do and see, and you could just copy them playing your old favorite old game again.
Yeah, Age of Empires would be nice. I don't know. I think maybe the same sort of thing, but something more updated, like Civilization, would probably be my sort of thing. It's, you know, got the strategic element, but it's also got the turn-based, and it's, you know, a little more slow.
That's true.
Yeah, you, Ben?
Ooh, that's really hard. I've always really liked MX versus ATV, and I'd always like to see, like, a racing game come into esports.
Yeah.
That would be very
I never
cool.
thought of that. Never thought of that.
Yeah.
But sticking on games that aren't esports, my question is, outside of these games, what is your most played game at the moment? Ben?
Oh, at the moment, most played game that is not esport related would have to be Squad. It's a new early access game that's just come out on Steam, which is pretty much a... think of Battlefield meets Armor meets bloody... Battlefield meets Armor meets bloody Counter-Strike. It's like a big combination of everything. It's sick. How about you, Simon?
I'd have to go with something. I really 90% of my game time is being played in Smite or Counter-Strike, but then I have that one-off couple days where I'm playing only Armor 2 and playing DayZ with a couple of mates, including Ben sometimes.
Yeah, we've teamed up a few times.
The times that I can be bothered, like pulling you around,
getting on.
Yeah, that's what I've been playing for the last couple of days. So yeah, that's what about you, Taryn?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as you, you know. A lot of my time spent playing, you know, the League, the Hearthstone, trying to learn some of the other games, the Smite and Dota 2, Counter-Strike even. But I'm trying to start to get into Undertale. From what I've heard, it's really, really good, and I've really got to just get in there and play it. But it's just... it's not competitive. It's not. It's different.
Slower.
It's a lot slower than, you know, a quick 40-minute game of one of these competitive games.
It's very true.
Yep.
All right.
You got your question?
Yeah, I'll go with my question. My question is, what is your most anticipated game for 2016?
Ooh.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That. You just threw, like, a whole list of names at me just then. I can't really...
yeah.
Narrow it down to one.
I know. I can give you one name. Most anticipated game. Best game of 2016.
Call of Duty.
Right now. Persona 5.
Hey, I thought you were going to say, like, some other weirdo trash title, like the thing that they announced.
Sharing with Your Dad Simulator 2016.
And they were like, no. Oh, yeah, let's do that. And then they got, like, a Kickstarter for, like, a couple billion dollars immediately. What was it? The, Japanese one where you see a
Shenmue.
Kid in the
Shenmue.
Ground. There you go, that one. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm really hoping Persona 5 is really good and not just another Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5.
It's... yeah. Is it a skating game?
That disappointed me greatly. Yeah, but Tony Hawk 1 to 4 was great. Tony Hawk 5 was just... kill me, please.
Yeah. They tried.
At least they tried.
It's like they just... it's like they updated the graphics... but they made the mechanics way more sloppy. Yeah.
The graphics weren't updated, though. But anyway, what's your most anticipated game, Ben?
Oh, Jesus. I'm really looking forward to Final Fantasy XV as well as the VII Remake.
7 remakes got plenty. That just got announced to be 2018 now.
2018? Okay, well, forget about that this year. We're rumoured to have the next Battlefield being launched this year, which would be pretty cool. I am up for another Battlefield that is not fucking Hardline. As every year, I'm pretty keen on the next Call of Duty to come out.
Okay.
So many games, so little time.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Simon? Any games?
Yeah, I'm thinking either, like, Paladins, Overwatch, Dishonored 2, Deus Ex, Mankind, whatever it's called, Divided?
Mankind Divided, yep.
They all seem to be some pretty cool games, and should be fun to play them again. We'll play them for the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So, into news, for me, I'll start off the news with some CSGO news, which is the biggest news story of the week is Team Question Mark, formerly TSM, has formed their new team. It's called Team Astralis. They've seemed to be keeping in that European region, so it should be good to see them come on top and really be able to have some force behind them with a new organization.
They're keeping the same roster?
They are, yes. It's just they moved across to Astralis.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
And also, Titan, the esports organization, has dissolved and released all teams, such as their CSGO and their Smite teams. So it's pretty sad to see them after the whole Curly mishap they had, which means that they're really not able to. They said in an interview that after the Curly whole incident, they weren't able to get sponsors and they were really losing a lot of money due to that whole thing. So they've had to shut down the entirety of Titan. So that's pretty sad to say.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty heartbreaking for them. And yeah. Titan fans all around. Lastly, Fnatic beat Na'Vi 2-0 to win Star Series 14. So it's another Fnatic win for, I don't know, I'm pretty sure everyone saw that coming. So it's pretty...
Fnatic is back, baby.
Fnatic has never left.
Oh, they left there for a little bit. For about 3 or 4 months, they were a little off.
But they're back on top.
They're back.
And then, that's good. Sadly, there's no Smite news this week, because SWC just wrapped up, and there isn't really anything else happening right now.
Oh.
Yes. So, Ben, to you.
Alright, so before I get through with resultings, because as everyone that's been following League of Legends should know, week one of the LCS and the OPL have just happened, but some interesting changes actually occurred last week. Last Thursday, Riot Games has come out and announced some new rules coming into the new season for Ranked. So, Riot's latest change is requiring substitute players only to be contracted to one organization at a time. This is going to swap. This is going to stop players being in the LCS as well as the Challenger Series as substitute players. So they can only be contracted to one team. So Riot has organized that two organizations can settle for a formal loan agreement and can share a player on two rosters before the trade deadline of each split. For example, the trade deadline for the spring split will be the 1st of March, so two teams can form a contract for the one player to jump between two rosters as a supporting role, but as soon as that deadline hits, it's got to be either one team or the other, which is kind of interesting because we're seeing a few backup players jumping from team to team time to time, but now it's only going to be consistent set roster. So, with those changes out of the way, let's head over to the NALCS. Week 1 consisted of the Day 1, TSM versus Counter Logic Gaming, with a TSM defeat. We got Cloud9 versus Immortals with a Cloud9 defeat. Team Dignitas versus NRG Esports with a Team Dignitas defeat. Renegades versus Liquid with a Team Liquid defeat. Echo Fox versus Team Impulse with a Team Impulse defeat. Over to the Day 2, we have Renegades versus the NRG Esports with Renegades taking the defeat on that one. We had Team Dignitas versus Counterlogic Gaming, with Counterlogic taking the defeat. We had TSM versus Liquid, with Liquid taking the defeat. Echo Fox versus Cloud9, with Echo Fox taking the defeat, as well as Immortals versus Team Impulse, with Team Impulse taking the defeat. It's looking to be a good start for TSM at the moment. They've only gone with one defeat in the first week, considering they were the first team to be knocked out of Worlds. They seem to be holding their own at the moment.
Yeah, sort of. I think the main teams to look out for are, of course, Immortals and Energy. They're the two teams that have gone 2-0 this week. They're the two teams that I see sort of being top four, with the TSM, with the C9 and the CLG fighting for those top four spots.
And looking at Team Liquid, double loss in the first week, it's a bit upsetting on that one.
Yeah, that's disappointing, especially with, you know, Piglet in ADC. It's not the start you want, but at the bottom there, I think, more importantly, Team Impulse, 0-2, their loss to Immortals there, it was actually a perfect game for Immortals. So, for those who don't know, a perfect game is where they, you know, Team Immortals did not lose a tower, did not lose a dragon, a baron, or did not die once. And it was also the fastest LCS game ever at just under 19 minutes.
Yeah, that's really pushing the time, isn't it?
So it's, I honestly don't see Impulse winning a game all season. But we will have to see. The other key talking point here is the difference in Cloud9 between Day 1 and Day 2. Day 1 we had Bunny Fufu in the support, whereas in Day 2 we had Hai. And you could just see the difference in sort of shot calling there. With Hai in the team, it was just the team knew what they had to do, and they were out there, and they just did it.
Yeah, it's going pretty rough at the moment. I'm seeing a lot of teams throwing pretty hard just to start with. NRG are actually coming out victorious, which I don't really know much about the team, because they're new, from what I understand. So it's interesting to see them coming out on top over someone such as C9, who's been around the game much longer.
Yeah, definitely. They didn't play C9, you mean Immortals?
Oh no, I'm just comparing the teams.
Okay. I thought you were comparing NRG to C9.
No,
I was
they haven't
thinking,
played
you
yet.
Know, they have, didn't actually play each other this week.
No, they haven't played yet. I'm just saying comparing the teams.
Oh, it's all good.
So with the NA out of the road, we move over to the EU. So in week one, we had Fnatic versus Origin, with Origin taking the loss. We had Elements versus G2 Esports, with Elements taking the loss. We had H2K versus Giants, with Giants taking the loss. Splice Esports versus Unicorns of Love, with Splice taking the loss. Team Vitality versus Rocat, with Team Vitality taking the loss. In the day two, we had Giants versus Unicorns of Love, with Giants taking the loss. We had Splice Esports versus Elements, with Splice taking the loss. Team Vitality versus Fnatic, with Fnatic taking the loss. H2K versus Origin, with Origin taking the loss. And G2 Esports versus Rocat, with Rocat taking the loss. Looking at a few of these matches, we're looking at two losses from a fair lot of the teams here.
Yeah, that looks like there was quite a few surprises this week. I mean, Fnatic not beating Vitality was sort of a little bit of an upset to me, but I think the biggest upset was seeing G2 go 2-0. This team that's just come out of Challenger and sort of undefeated after week one, you know, not what I expected.
Yeah, they are just a new reigning team at the moment, and if you just look at the stats at the moment, it looks very half-half, to be honest. Like, we've got one side that's going 2-0, we've got one side that's going 0-2, and then you got, like, maybe one team, Fnatic, in the centre with a 1-1 situation here. So it looks like the teams are off to an early start with who's going to pull out in front and who's going to be left behind.
Yeah, the important thing to note, though, is it's only week one, so teams like the Fnatic and the Vitality are still trying to build their synergy and become a team. So, see how it pans out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, which is very true, but week one kind of stands out as the first impression. I mean, you want to kick off the season with a bang, right? You don't want to throw super hard and go 0-2.
Oh, of course, but, you know, with teams like Vitality and Fnatic only being together for sort of a month or so, and only really scrimming, and, well, Fnatic had IEM Cologne to sort of play as a team, you know, you've got to give them a few games to sort of build their synergy and start to work together before things will come fully together and we'll see which teams are the dominant teams.
Which is very true. So with that EU out of the way, we're going to go to the LCK. So on day one of a best of three, we had CJ Ensis versus SKT Telecom, with CJ Ensis taking the defeat. We had Africa Freaks. Is that how you even pronounce it?
Africa Freaks.
We had Africa Freaks versus KT Rosler, with Africa Freaks taking the defeat. Over on day two, we had Jin Air Green Wings versus Longzhu Gaming, with Jin Air taking the defeat, as well as Samsung Galaxy versus EM Fire, with EM Fire taking the defeat. Is Samsung Galaxy the former Samsung White?
Sort of. Samsung White and Samsung Blue both split up after Season 4, when Samsung won the World Championship and Riot changed the rules so that one company could only own one organization. And so all of their players were let go, and, you know, they built a whole new team, and this team was terrible last year. But they seem to have built and come together, and they seem to be doing rather well at the early stages of the tournament, which is nice to see.
So, in Day 3, we had KT Rolsters versus Sneebus Sonic Boom, with Sonic Boom taking the defeat there, as well as ROX Tigers versus CJ Entis, with CJ Entis taking the defeat. And on day four, we had Africa Freaks versus Samsung Galaxy, with Africa Freaks once again taking the defeat. Jin Air Wings versus SKT1, with SKT1 actually taking the defeat in that one.
Huh, that's not something I expected to see, SKT losing a game in the first week.
Yeah, they usually are a strong team off the bat, but I suppose we are looking for a change this season.
Yeah, definitely.
So, with the LCK out of the way, we move over to the LPL. So, instead of going through all the results, we're just going to go through the standings tonight. With the Group A from the LPL, we have Qiagen Reapers. Is that how you say it?
Xiaogu.
We have Xiaogu Reapers in the top position in Group A, and LGD Gaming in the bottom position. In Group B, we have the Royals Never Give Up in first place, with Invintus Gaming in last place. At the moment, Invintus Gaming doesn't seem to have played a match, so that's yet to be confirmed whether they're actually still in the running, and if not, it'll be Edward Gaming with a one loss.
Yeah, no, basically what happened there was they were meant to play their first game against Edward Gaming, but because of lag issues and problems with the LAN, the game was delayed until another point in time, which hasn't been confirmed yet.
So with the LPL out of the way, we're just going to move over to the LMS standings. So with the LMS standings at the moment, we currently have AHQ Esports Club as well as Hong Kong Esports in the top positions with 6 points each. And then to the bottom of the ladder, we have Flash Wolves, Cougar Esports, as well as the Machi 17 with 0 points. So with the LCS out of the way, we move over to the OPL, which is the Oceanic Pro League at the moment. After the first week, we've only seen a few matches being played. We had Infernum versus Dwyer Wolves, with Dwyer Wolves taking out the victory. We had Legacy versus Sin Gaming, with Legacy taking out the victory. On the Wednesday, in the first split, we saw Trident versus Sheafs, Sheafs taking out the victory, as well as Hellions versus Avantgarde, with Avantgarde taking out the victory as well. What did you actually think of these matchups, Taran?
Yeah, so for those who don't watch the OPL, we've moved away from the best of one format, and we've moved towards a best of three format. So essentially, each team will play a best of three each week. That's just, you know, in case you couldn't tell with all the 2-0 scorelines, you thought we might have had, you know, best of twos. But it really didn't show much different to what we sort of thought, you know. Everyone was tipping Direwolves, Legacy, Chiefs, and Avantgarde to be sort of up there in the top four. A few of the games were a little bit interesting. We had I think, to me, the Hellion Avant-Garde series that was on Wednesday night was probably the most interesting. The first game there, we saw a 50 and 55 minute slugfest where it was just slow and methodical until eventually Avant-Garde got through and got the win. Whereas in the second game, we saw Avant take home a perfect game, which, you know, as we said before, no dragons, no barons, no towers, no deaths. So just the difference in sort of momentum in these best of threes is something that hopefully over the course of the season these teams will learn to adapt to.
Well, with that last match that you mentioned, it just Hellions just got slaughtered. Absolutely slaughtered. And
The second game was an absolute clusterfuck. It was just wrecked.
I think the first game was pretty much just to see how the enemy team was, and as soon as you figured it out, the second game was just destroy. Search and destroy. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
slaughter.
What it seems like. It seems like the first one that was sort of, you know, Avant-Garde just trying to get to know the team and try and figure out what they can and can't do. And then the second game, they just came out and just went, bang, here's what we've got, winning.
And I guess that kind of just shows the difference between the teams, because it wasn't a 1-1 situation. It was just literally one game after the other.
Yeah, definitely. But just moving away from League now, we have the Call of Duty World League has been going on for the last couple of weeks. So in NA, we've got Envious, FaZe Clan, and H2K sitting on top of the ladder with two wins each. Optic Gaming, Luminosity, Question Mark, and Rise Nation sit in the middle at 1-1. And CLG, Complexity, Dream Team, and Elevate sit at the bottom with 0-2. Over in the EU, we see Infused, Vitality, XL, and Epsilon sitting on top at 2-0. With Splice and Millennium sitting at 1-1, and Pulse, LDLC, TCM, and Giants sitting at the bottom at 0-2.
Well, that's actually really strange that you mentioned with the NA. Optic Gaming has been dominant in the Call of Duty scene for years now, and they've always been the higher tier over FaZe Clan. And for FaZe Clan to actually be in the higher quartile over Optic Gaming, it's a real change up this year.
Yeah. Definitely. I think it's more sort of just the opponents they've had in the first couple of weeks. FaZe Clan's been up against some of the stronger teams, whereas, you know, Optic's been up against some more of the stronger teams, whereas FaZe Clan's had sort of an easier run in the first week. Hopefully, you know, in the next couple of weeks, same as League, essentially, in the next few weeks we'll see these teams sort of fit into the ladder where they fit and not just have these one-off teams going 2-0 in one week and that sort of thing.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely. And finally, over in OCE, we have Orbit and Tainted Mind sitting at 2-0, with Exile and Chief sitting at the bottom with 0-2. Every other team is sitting in the middle at 1-1. Of course, as we said before, there's plenty of times for these teams to find their place in the ladder. And finally, over the weekend, we had the Genesis tournament, where Super Smash Bros., Super Smash Bros. Melee, and Super Smash Bros. Wii U was all played on the competitive stage. In the original Super Smash, we saw Wario take out first place, beating out Super Boom Fan. In the Wii U edition of the game, we saw Zero take out Daboos in the finals. Well, in Super Smash Bros. Melee, which is, you know, the most competitively played one of the three, Amada took out crowd favorite Mango in the final. So moving away from the news now, we'll move over to the Fantasy League, the Almost Awesome League, which we started last week. Last week's games, we saw My Taboo Gods take out Paragon Miracles Kasinga's King, which, you know, everybody expected that.
Of course.
We saw... Pardon?
Of course, they expected you to come out on top.
Of course, everyone expects me to come out of this thing undefeated.
What about Simon? Give Simon credit here.
Yeah, dude, Smite is greater than League, is the best team in the world.
You mean Smite is greater than League, which lost to POE Lovers?
No.
Okay, it's the first week.
I'm talking about the one that's going to win next week. That's the one that I'm talking about.
You're only as good as your last game, and your last game was a loss.
Shut up.
But Ben, you don't get out of this easy either. You lost by the biggest margin, by losing to Haruyu by over 50 points. How does it feel to be the biggest loser?
It's actually a strategical plan. See, I want to get all hopes up for everyone, and then I'm actually going to just fucking dominate yous both later on, and then when yous come crying to me, I'm just going to go, nah, bow down at my feet, bitches.
We'll see. And in the final game, we saw the TMP Water Boys take out Greg Laz. Over to you, Simon, to introduce the main topic for the week.
Yes, the main topic for this week is esports on television. Your thoughts? Personally, I am a fan, but it should be good to see you guys. What's your take on this, Tone? What do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely it should be on TV. Like, these sort of things, because esports is a sport. It has a place on TV, and to me, it seems like it's the next logical step to bring it into the mainstream. So, you know, we'll move it away from Twitch, leave everything on Twitch so that, you know, everyone can still access it, everything on there. But moving it to TV where, you know, it's one of the biggest mediums in the world, and so that people can, you know, see it on TV, they have more exposure to it, and hopefully by doing so we'll have more people embrace it and understand what it is. What about you, Ben?
I find this really interesting, to be honest. I'm all for it to be on TV, but realistically it's going to be on paid TV, and the only problem with paid TV is that's all, when you get sports on paid TV, it's 80% of the time it's for people who wish to bet, and esports is not really in the betting scene at the moment. It is slowly...
Yes, it is.
It is making its way in, but it's nothing on the level of soccer or NBA. Yeah,
you can bet on sports bet on CSGO matches.
I'm not saying...
I can bet on, like, whoever wins, who's going to win the first map or who's going to get the first kill in a league game.
That's not what I'm trying to say here.
It's, like, massive.
There's whole, like, websites all built around CSGO betting and stuff like that, and you can do it on those main things. Like, I knew that last major they did for CSGO, they had a couple of the betting organizations or betting websites were all like, yeah, you can bet real money on these CSGO matches instead of just skins.
You kind of hijacked where I was going with that. I'm not saying that we can't bet on it, but it's not on the same level as main sports such as your soccer, such as your mixed martial arts, because we're looking at we're looking at maybe 10 different options when you go into betting on esports matches, where you're betting on like major soccer games and you're getting like anywhere to like 50 to 100 different options to like bet from just in the one match, just because there's not many people inputting into it.
See, I disagree with you there. I think that's more just because of what the game is, you know. In a soccer game, you can bet on who's going to score the first goal, and you have 40 different options. You can bet on a team to do this or that, or win by a certain amount of points or that. Whereas in esports, it's essentially, you know, who gets the first kill, who's going to win the map, who's going to win the game, who's going to do this. There's limited options in esports as opposed to mainstream gaming. Sports. It has nothing to do with the amount of people actually betting on it.
Which is true, but we already have this set up on Twitch and all. So when you go on pay TV, you're going to see a lot of mainstream competitions such as like your Golf Opens, your NRLs, your etc., World Cups. And as soon as something foreign's going to come in, such as esports, people are going to get fairly upset because, well, that's taking up airspace for matches that they wish to be betting on, watching, being a part of, etc.
Yeah, I could sort of agree with you there. I mean, we saw recently down in Australia here, the Crown Invitational. We had the finals between Immunity and Virtus Pro. No, it was Virtus Pro. Cloud9 was knocked out in the group stage.
That's true.
Get wrecked.
Shut up.
Like usual. But, like, they lost to an Oceanic team. Come on. But anyway. The final game of that was on Fox Sports 1. And the amount of criticism and, you know, everyone hating on it online, on social media, was just crazy. You know, people don't like being taken out of their comfort zone. And when they see a video game on a sporting channel, it's not something these people are accustomed to yet.
And that's the thing, like, you and I, when we see competitions come up, we're sure we would bet on it. But when you see people who are in it for the money, they go, esports, nah, not going to trust it. Bookies won't even look at it. It's really down to the individual to either accept it or deny it. And when it starts taking up their airspace on their pay TV, well, then no one's going to be really happy about it. And the fact that it's not exactly accepted so bigly, like big in Australia, that we're going to see digital TV pick it up, because 10 and 7 and all that, they pick up your main soccer matches and football matches, but we don't see anything else besides that. Everything else is either thrown onto pay TV or shoved online. So to see esports being announced on a digital TV is not going to really happen. It barely happens on pay TV.
What would be...
Go ahead,
Tim. Right, what would be your stance on something like SBS2 to run some esports? Because I know they're trying to be more of a hip, new, like, cooler, like, TV channels. Putting stuff on, like, all the weird TV shows and your documentaries on video games and stuff like that. What would be your stance on something like that being put on at a nighttime event? Would you like that, Ben?
Yeah, I'm all for it. Like I said before, I've got nothing with... I've got nothing against having esports coming onto the TV, but it's just we've got to find the right place for it, and SBS would be an awesome place for it, as it's really, yeah, like you say, it's that different channel, so it's not going to really take up much airtime from other important things. Well, I can't really say important because it's down to individual whether it's important or not, but your mainstream, like your football games and your soccer matches and your news events and stuff like that, which most people would get fairly upset about.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I think SBS is the perfect starting place on free TV for this sort of thing. I think on pay TV, Fox Sports is obviously the main sporting channels we have in Australia, other than, you know, we've got the ESPN, but that's all the American sport and that sort of thing. I think Fox Sports on pay TV would be ideal, perhaps even having, you know, a new channel just devoted to esports, so that it's not actually taking anything away from people who watch these sort of things. But on free TV, SBS would probably be the best place for esports to, you know, grow and hopefully adapt and become bigger in Australia.
So with the main discussion out of the way for tonight, Simon, have you got the play of the week for us?
That's right, Ben. I've got this one from the Fnatic Na'Vi game, the first match of the three. It was the Dust 2 match, and with Na'Vi on T side, it's pushing on to B side. They push in through tunnels, and Guardian picks up a shot against JW with the back of plat, pushes on with the AWP. The rest of his team gets taken out, so it's a 1v3 with him only a person on site. Flicks off and gets the all three of them with pulling out that match to a 11-3, even though they still lost that match. So, bad luck to them, but it was an impressive shot by Guardian to win that round.
And so, with the Player of the Week out of the way, we want to wrap up the show for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. Tyron, where can we find you outside of Almost Awesome Esports?
So you can find me on Twitter at @A_Tyron. You can find me on Steam at Mr. Inconsistent. You can find me on League at Taboo1108. And you can also find me on my other podcast, Almost Awesome, the Almost Awesome podcast, which two new episodes will be released in the next couple of days. What about you, Simon?
You can find me on @AAE_Simon on Twitter. You can find me on Steam at DJMVCS. My picture is still a old woman with an insane double chin, and the face, or my name is still the face. So if you see that, you can add me, and I'll 90% of the time I accept it. Ben?
And you can find me at @AAE_Ben. And on the OC servers for League of Legends, you can find me at White Ravenix. We should actually leave a link in the description for those who wish to try and find us.
Never.
Because Tyron actually hates the world, but that's not the point. Anyway, thank you very much for listening in, and as always, stay awesome.
Thank you.
See yous.
Yo, get on the case. Rinsing, rinse out, get down. Who's in the mic with the wickedest sound? Wickedest sound. Wickedest sound. Get hyper. Get hyper. Sound. Get on the case. We'll be right back.